Well, today we are going to look at our third and final step in how we as a church are going to be looking at Simple Church. And today's message is entitled, Go. Go and make disciples. Because we understand that as we view Simple Church here at the Heart of Christ Church, we've boiled it down to three very real principles that God has given us. And as we go, that is what we're going to be talking about today. We've spoken on the love of God, which is what we're doing here right now. We are worshiping Him. We are studying His Word. We are getting to know Him and to develop our relationship. We are also, at the same time that we're here, through some of the discipleship and the fellowship and the talking in the halls and the singing together, we're also getting to know each other and love each other and care for each other. So this, what we're doing here, is actually two parts of who we are. We are to gather to love God, we are to gather to love others, but we're also to love others out in the world, amen? Because that love just doesn't stay inside here, because the love of God knows no bounds. Do you know that? The love of God knows no bounds. It is as big as He is. How big is God? Immeasurable, right? The universe does not contain Him. He contains the universe in the palm of His hands. Okay, so we need to understand that the love of God is immeasurable, which we're going to look at in a little while. But the Lord God has said, you have a purpose. How many of you want to know your purpose for life? Don't we all? Why do I exist? Why am I here? What is my purpose? You know, it amazes me, because when you look around, there are so many people that they think they found their purpose in life, and it's called a job. Well, if that's your purpose in life, truly, truly, we need to talk. Because there is something far greater, okay? Our purpose in life are the very three things I just said to you. Our purpose in life is to love God. We were created, all of creation was created so that God could have a creation that chose to love Him. Okay? Do you realize that everything else in creation except us, the human race, has a set purpose and cannot change from it? Everything in this world has a set purpose and cannot change from it. The angels cannot be other than angels. If they change from being what they are fallen. Okay? A horse cannot be a dog. A chicken cannot be a cat. A star cannot be a moon. A moon cannot be a sun. A planet cannot be an asteroid. Nothing else gets to change its mind from whence it was come. Because God has set the order. But we can choose to love God, or we can choose to reject Him. We're the only creatures in existence who have this special reality. And in that special reality, God says, now that you know that you love me, now you need to love your neighbors as yourself. Now, does God say you have to like your neighbors? God never said you have to like your neighbors, because I'll tell you right now, Mitch, you can answer this question for me. Did God always like you?
I would hope so.
Well, He's always loved you, but when you were outside of Christ, He didn't like what you were doing, did He? Okay? Now, you're in Christ, okay? I won't pick on you no more. Ricky boy. He's an elder, so I can ask him. Does God like everything you do right now? But He loves you to the nth, doesn't He? And He's willing to walk with you to change those things He doesn't like, doesn't He? You know, that's... Amen. And sometimes that 4x4 is called Pauline, right? Amen. Mine's called Lynn. It's in between the two. God loves us. He doesn't like everything we do. He didn't like what we were before we came to Christ. But now in Christ, He likes us a little bit more. But He continues to love us. And we need to love others in the same manner. We don't need to like where they are, but we need to continue to love them. Okay? Brother Bob got to see how much we drove to Alabama. Okay? That's 804 miles one way. Okay? He got to see how much I like people on the highway. Firsthand. But at the same token, though I didn't like the way they were driving or the way they were acting, I loved them enough to pray for them for safety and for myself for forgiveness for saying the things that I had said. Because God doesn't like me all the time either, but He loves me every moment of every day. And He says to me, go. Go. Because that's our purpose, to love Him, to love others, and to go. You and I have an ordained purpose. And folks, we can't discredit it. Because if God has given it to us, there is no better thing for us to do. God doesn't tell us to stay here in the church where it's nice and comfy, cozy, and we're all singing around, you know, sitting around you. And we've all done this before, you know. The choir was just over at Mitch's, and they were around a campfire singing Kumbaya. And we don't want to leave that place, do we? What happened to Peter and James and John when they were up on the Mount of Transfiguration and they saw Jesus and they saw Moses and they saw Elijah? They're up there and they're like, oh, let's put up 3 tents and we're going to camp here for a while. And Jesus said, no, we've got to go from this place, for there is yet more to do. And that's what we need to remember. We can't stay here. It's nice to come here to get recharged. It's nice to come here to find brothers and sisters like-minded who are able and willing and wanting to love on us and encourage us. But then we have to go, because we need to be Christ in our world, not just here. You see, when we look at the Greek word that was given there where it says to go, okay, it doesn't say to stay, it doesn't say to delay. It literally translates as you are living. How many of you are alive? Now, I don't mean breathing. How many of you are alive? Because to be alive means that you are in Christ, for you are alive to God once again, because outside of Christ we are dead in sin, and if we are in Christ we are alive to God. Amen. So as we are living, as we are alive, we are to go. Okay, as we are living our lives, as we are about our lives, we are to go. It means the same thing. How many of us sit at home 24 hours a day and don't move? How many of us are in contact with new people every day of our lives? And maybe not new people, okay? If you go to work, sometimes it's the same people, and you have the same conversations time and time and time again. And you sit there and you think to yourself, you know, I've told these people 50 million times. Well, guess what? How many times did God tell you? What comes around goes around. Okay? Remember, God didn't give up on you. Don't give up on them. So as we are going, we need to understand that what we are living, we are alive in this world. There's a reason people ask us questions. There's a reason people look at Brother David funny when he's walking through Walmart or someplace like that, because he is alive. He's smiling and he's looking at them. When people are dead in their spirit, I think it's most amazing because their faces are blank and they don't make eye contact with anybody or try not to. Anybody ever seen that, taking notice to that? But when somebody's alive, they're looking. They're looking. Because as soon as you make eye contact, what do? They smile. And they start, you know, they'll make a step or two towards you. And Brother Mitch, you know this better than anybody else in this room. How many of those people, when you start making a step towards them, will turn their head and look away and hope that you'll ignore them? out of their way, all right? Because they are dead in their spirit. And they fear what we have because they know they're dead. There's no other reason about it. And it's not a logical thing. It's not something that they're saying, oh yeah, I know I'm dead and that's a Christian coming at me. It's a spiritual thing that happens in our lives. Because the Spirit knows the Spirit. And to be void of the Spirit is still to be filled with the Spirit. It is a spirit of deception. It is a spirit of deceit. Because if we are not in Christ, we are in the evil one. And He is guiding our lives. You need to understand that. I need to understand that. So as we are going, who are we going to encounter out there, folks? We're going to encounter people who are being influenced and affected by the evil one in our world. And we can't be afraid of that. We just spoke in Discipleship Hour, and Bobby and I had a wonderful time down in Alabama at the EA Convocation. And one of the speakers, no, two of the speakers, no, three of the, no, four of the speakers, we had four speakers, all four of them went to the same place on varying levels, that in our world today, we as Christians are completely irrelevant to the world, to the culture, okay? However, as Dennis has said in our meeting here this morning in our discipleship time, we are the most relevant thing out there. Because without the gospel of love, life, and hope, there is no meaning in life. There is no hope in life. So if we are irrelevant to the society, and they discredit everything that we are and say, what does that mean we should be doing? Should we be sitting on our laurels with our hands in our pockets saying nothing? Say it louder and say it all the time. Come on, if we are irrelevant, it doesn't matter. So what does it matter what we say? Just say it. Walk right up to somebody completely, you know, unannounced and just look them right in the face and say, do you know Jesus Christ? And if they don't want to receive it, shake the dust off your feet and move on. It's that easy today. But if they engage, well, now let's have some fun. Let's start talking. Let's start sharing. However, if you determine that the only reason they want to talk to you is because they are a bigot, they are a racist, because remember, they're telling us we're the racists, but they're the ones flying in the face of the very things that they say. I will accept you and let you, hey, I'll tell you right now, if you want to look at me and say, I'm a Satanist and I'm going to hell, I'm going to say, glory to God, and leave you to it, because it's your choice, amen? And I'm not going to fret, because it's not my worry. Whose worry is it? His. If He wants you there, He'll bring somebody else. And then somebody else, and then somebody else, until you finally get it. Maybe not you, because hopefully all of you are not there. But until that person is there and ready to receive. But we need to do our part. We need to be relevant in this world. Speak it. Don't worry about what they have to say. And if they do have something to say, glory to God, because then you can start a conversation. We need to understand that we are to go. We are not to sit here on our laurels. And we are to go with a purpose, okay? There's purpose on top of purpose on top of purpose when we look at God. God doesn't just give one itty-bitty purpose. It all builds on each other. Because He says to go. That as we are living, we're to go. And do what? Teach. We are to make disciples, okay? Now, this is one of the things that I think is amazing. What is the definition of the word disciple? Because the literal Greek word there means to make a disciple or to make a pupil. Do you realize what Jesus is giving us here? He is commanding us all to be rabbis. Didn't know you were Jewish, did you? He is commanding each and every person who is going to follow him to be a rabbi. You are to get students to come along beside you and to come under you, to be trained up by you. This speaks to something that our deacons have been dealing with for a long time. And as a pastor, I deal with it all the time. It's called commitment. We need to understand that Jesus wants us to go and be committed to the people that we go to. That you don't just walk up to somebody and say, "Do you know Jesus Christ?" And they say, "Well, no, tell me about him." "Oh, okay, I'll get back with you," and then you leave. He wants us to get committed. He wants us to make disciples of those people, to invite them into our lives. And we as a church, and I'm talking church, not necessarily us, as a church, the Church of Jesus Christ, have a hard time with that reality. Because it means I have to invest in something. But you know, my kids have soccer, and you know, I've got this thing that I like to do my TV shows are on. Oh my goodness, you know, if I do that, I can't watch the Phillies play. You don't understand. I have all this stuff in my life. Let me ask you something. Is any of that stuff going to get you one step closer to heaven? Is any of that stuff going to go with you when you pass? Because you see, the evil one has created a lot of stuff in this world to distract us and to get us all caught up in the things that mean nothing. Now, some of you are probably thinking, "Well, Pastor, you know, family's important." You betcha, because God says it is. Well, but Pastor, you know, the Bible says that we're supposed to meet together in fellowship. You betcha, you need to be in Bible study. You need to be in discipleship hour. You need to be in church when church is open. Okay? But church should not be open so much that you can't be a living being out there in the world. Amen? That means we should not be meeting 4 and 5 times a week, having meetings on meetings on meetings, because what is that going to accomplish? It accomplishes isolation of the church, and it doesn't allow the church to be out there doing what the church is supposed to be doing, which is sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Because we need to understand, Jesus said, love God, love others, and go. Not love God, love others, and make a committee. That's why we call them teams. Because we want teams to work together to get out there, to build people up so we can love each other and so we can love God. And that we don't need to have 50 million meetings, because if you have been entrusted to something in leadership, it's yours to do. You need to make sure that the upper echelon, who's the upper echelon? The elders. Make sure we know what you're doing. You know, keep us in the loop. Send us a note every once in a while and let us know where you're going and what you're doing. But it's yours to run. You're the church. You get carte blanche within reason, amen? Because you start bringing stuff in like, you know, we're gonna have a seance here with all the candles and we're gonna have a talk is what we're gonna do. What about a kegger? Well, root beer, there you go. Hey, I don't mind a kegger. I mean, God says, you know, don't get drunk on wine. He doesn't say you can't have a little wine. All right? There's everything in reason, in moderation. All right? But let's remember, if you're having a kegger to have a kegger, that's just wrong. Invite a bunch more people. Don't have it for yourself, right? Of course, I'm joking. But we need to understand that as we are now alive, we have this purpose, and this purpose says that we're to teach, we're to baptize, and we're to make disciples. We need to be committed to making these peoples, to teaching them, to growing them up in the Lord. Now, does that mean you have to know everything? No, because one of the things you need to realize, that's what the church is here for. You start teaching them what you know, and then you bring them to the place where you grow. And where do you grow, people? In discipleship, in Bible study, in fellowship with other brothers and sisters. You know, it amazes me. I love it because, you know, I really have to say this, and I'm so appreciative of it. Today, we kept getting more and more people coming in the discipleship room until we had no more chairs and tables. What a problem to have! And in 2 weeks, no, next week, we divide out because we're going to do another two groups. We're going to be doing the women's group and we're going to be doing a men's group where all the men in the church are invited to come and we're going to study the man code. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And then all the women are going to go and they're going to study the battlefield of the mind. There you go. That one was better. Why are we doing this? So we can build each other up. You know, I love our discipleship times where we're studying the Word. I love it because we dig into it. And we get to have some really good conversation. But you know what? There are some men in our church that need to begin to understand how to build relationships with other men. Because we really haven't been taught that. And ladies, you need to have time to fellowship with the other ladies and build those relationships and teach up the younger generations, right? I believe there's something in the Bible that says, you know, that the older ladies are to teach the younger ladies. And I think there's something in the Bible that says the older men are to teach the younger men. Oh, you mean we're actually going to start doing what it says? Yes! And I'm looking for growth. Growth in each and every one of you, but growth in our community as you'll be able to share a different venue with folks who are outside who may need some help, who may need some assistance. You know, one of the hardest things is transitioning from a teenager to an adult. Would you all agree with that? Praise God we survived. Sometimes we wonder if our kids will, or sometimes we wonder if we will because of our kids. But the reality is, in Christ Jesus, we'll get there. But we need to start living our life as a church in a manner that helps each other get there so that we can then go out and bring others into that reality, a reality that speaks to the relativity in our world that is so needed. We are relative. We are the most relative thing in existence today. It is the relationship with Jesus Christ. For we, the church, are His body, and He is our head. And if you're not connected to the head, you're... And there's a lot of the world out there that's not connected. And we need to help them get connected. And the awesome thing is, we know the way. For Jesus said, boy, we just did this in discipleship, didn't we? Isn't it cool how God does what God does? Jesus said, I am the way. You all know this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. There's no other way. There is no other way. And you and I know the door. In fact, we have the key to open it. We have the key to understanding. And that key is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given us in this great day. That we would never be alone. That as we are living, as we are about our going, He's right there with us, teaching us all things. Reminding us of everything He has ever said. keeping us on task and keeping us in tune. I think it's amazing because the scripture here, when you look at the book of Matthew, in fact, I didn't even have you look at it. Good Lord, open your Bibles. I just started preaching as if you didn't know this scripture. Look at Matthew. This is terrible. Pastor was so involved in the Word, he didn't even have you open the Word. Well, let's look at the Word because that's why we're here. It doesn't matter what I have to say. Amen. It has to matter what he has to say. Amen. Because the words of men are folly, but the words of God are life. Yeah, don't be ashamed to say amen to that, Sean. That was truth. Yeah, my words are folly. His words are life. From verse 18, it says, Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, I think it's amazing because, again, he says, therefore, go. He says to make disciples. But then he tells us to do one more thing. What's that? Oh, I didn't tell you a chapter. Well, you're supposed to know that. 28, 18, Matthew. Matthew, 28 and 18. I'm telling you, I'm just ready to go. You're supposed to know. Matthew, 28, 18. The Great Commission. We should all know this by heart. Now, is everybody on page? Is everybody on verse? Okay, now, everybody look at 19. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Doing what? What does that mean to you? Says that we are to go, we are to make disciples, and we are to baptize. What does that mean? What is baptism? No, that's a shower or a bath or swimming. An outward show of faith through water baptism. Thank you. Yep, it's all got to be included. It is an outward show of faith through the undertaking of baptism, which is the representation of coming under the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ through the power of the water, which is the Word. Okay? So we are to make disciples. We're to teach them what God told us. And once it is received, now what do? We bring them into obedience, which means Jesus says, baptize them. That's the first command outside of love God, love others, teach. The first command outside of it is baptize. We are to bring them to that place of saving grace. Whoa! That's my responsibility? Yes. It's your responsibility. When the door is open, help them walk through the door. They may not know the door even exists. Brother David gave me a poem here a while back. It says, I stand at the door. It's a poem for pastors. Okay? Man, look at the goosebumps. My hair is standing up. It's a poem for pastors, and it says, I stand at the door, lo, I know not go in, for it is mine to stand at the door and point the way to him who is through that door. Lo, I stand at the door, and I make a way, and I show, and I wait for those who come, that they may find the way to him who is the open door. You and I are to be that person pointing to the open door. That's baptism, where we bring them into that place where they have received Jesus Christ and they are beginning to walk in obedience, and they walk through that door of obedience, and then it's up to them to continue growing. It is up to them to get plugged into the church, and it is up to them then to go out and make disciples. But do we give up on that person at that moment? No, because now they're part of our family. And now they are brothers and sisters with us in Christ, and they become even all the more important. That's why you're all here. I wish I were this good looking that you wanted to, you know, really see me. I wish I had words of such eloquence that, oh man, you just wanted to buy my every word. But the reality is, the only thing I have to give to you, I freely give. Gold and silver have I not. But what I have, I freely give. Rise in the name of Jesus Christ. And I mean that. Because when you live in Christ, you have risen from death. Amen? And there's nothing more I can give you. And that's where we need to be, because that's what baptism is. Baptism, we know baptism is not salvation. Amen? All it is getting wet, as Brother Tom said. I didn't mean to correct him the way I did, but I wanted to make sure that we understood, because there's a bunch of people out there that get baptized and all they do is get wet. Well, I can do that every day in my shower. In fact, I hope most of you do. But the act of baptism is an act of faith. It is a carrying out of something that has happened inside of you to an outside exercise, that others may know, and that God Himself may know the condition of your heart and your being and your commitment to Him. Because you see, God wants us to be committed. Being committed does not mean showing up on Sunday. Being committed means showing up every day. Because God does. Every day, every hour, every minute, every second, every moment. He is never void in our lives. We need to be the same. We need to understand that this investment and this commitment talks of something. And I spoke this today in discipleship, and I'm going to share it here. One of the greatest ways that people understand how important something is because we share it. Okay? If you go out there and you walk down the street, how many times will you walk up to somebody and they're wearing a sports jersey, they're wearing sneakers or a hat or their bumper sticker, something has something to say about a sports team? You know, it might be the Yankees, it might be the Knicks, it might be whatever it is, you know, our sports teams. And we'll talk about them, won't we? We have whole clubs about that stuff, don't we? There are bars that are designated for sports, okay? And we'll go to that place because, man, we're gonna get in there. We're gonna speak this thing up. Oh. You ain't got nothing to do with that sports team. When was the last time they sent you a check? All they do is take your money, and your time, and your energy, because it's a delusion. That's what it was intended to be. Jesus wants us to get involved because He wants to be involved in us. He says, I want you to have life and have it abundantly. He wants us to understand, you know, when Whitey sang that song, did you see the intensity and inflection in him? He gave it his all. He meant what he was singing, and they weren't his words, they were somebody else's words, that when they were sung to him, he grabbed a hold of them and claimed them in the name of Jesus, and he's going to project them, he's going to give them to us, and he did with all he had. And that's the way you and I need to be, because Jesus says, you are my all. I gave my all for you on the cross of Calvary, all. Jesus died for each and every individual person in this world. And we need to do the same. We need to die to ourselves and be Christ in this world. Now, does that mean you don't get to have a life? No, God says I want you to have a life and have it abundantly. He wants us to go to Hawaii and have a good time. He wants us to go to Myrtle Beach. He wants us to do the things that only family can do together. He wants us to enjoy each other. He wants us to enjoy this creation, even though it's cursed. What do you think eternity is going to look like without the curse? You think this world's beautiful? Wait till we see the next one. And then I can't wait until we see eternity. Remember, because he's going to change it again. He changes it for 1,000 years, and then he changes it again for eternity. Talk about perfection to the nth. What are we going to see? What are we going to experience? I can't wait to get there. I can't wait to be there. But we need to be as excited about that as we are about McDonald's French fries. So don't eat McDonald's French fries. Go buy Burger King. The only thing is, in life, you can't have it your way. Because the reality is there is one way, one truth, one life. You get to choose, but with every time we choose, there are consequences. Choose well, my friends. But the awesome thing is, God says, you can choose again. If you don't like where you are, you can choose again. Okay, you know, there may come a time when you finally determine that McDonald's French fries are pretty good. And God says that's okay. Wendy's French fries? Lots of salt. I look at it this way. Until my dying breath, I can change who I am. And so can each and every human being until our dying breath. I'm checking my time because we have choir today, and I want to make sure I don't overshoot. But dear brothers and sisters, we've got to watch. We've got to understand. How important is this gospel? How real is this gospel? Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians. This is my last scripture, and we're going to end this with this scripture. It's Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to begin in verse 7. Verse 7, and this I can speak for each and every one of you who is in Christ Jesus. Okay? For each and every one of you who is in Christ Jesus, these verses speak to you. They are the Holy Spirit speaking through His Word to you, from within you. Hear the word of the Lord. I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of His power. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to bring to light what is the administration of the ministry for which ages has been hidden in God who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and to the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in Him. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to His riches of His glory, to be strengthened with the power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. And the church says, brothers and sisters, each and every one of you was given this reality, that God has placed in you His Spirit to be a minister unto the world. We are to love God, love others, and go. And we are all at different places along that line. Amen? Some of us are still learning how to love God. Some of us are still learning just who God is. Would you be willing to state that? Some of us are learning just how to love others, because we don't like them and we don't know how to love them. But we need to learn how to love people that we don't like. And I think that's amazing. And I know you don't like everybody here. Why else do you complain about them? Let's face it. You know, if we were flies on each other's walls, what would we hear?
I can't believe that pastor went 5 minutes over today.
I don't know what over means. It's over when I'm over. But we need to understand, to love one another means to accept each other where you are, but not accept each other's sin. Amen? Amen. Because one of the greatest aspects is God accepts us where we are, doesn't He? But He says, I'll not leave you there. Aren't we glad? Because that's why we exist as a church. Why do we exist? To transform lives to the heart of Jesus Christ, who came through the love of God so that He could love others to God, then that He may send them to go. Isn't that what Jesus did? You know, I don't make this stuff up. It's too good to be true. And that's who we're still supposed to be. We are to be the exact same thing. We are to love God, love others, and go. Because that's what He did, and that's what He taught His disciples. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Or are you a disciple of Pastor Rich Dubs? Because if you're a disciple of Pastor Rich Dubs, you are lost. And we need to find you a new church. One where you will finally realize that the pastor is not God, but that God stands alone and He resides in all of us equally, loving us and guiding us and caring for us. For He paid the price, no one else, because it's about Him. Because He wants us to love Him, for He first loved us. He wants us to love each other in spite of ourselves, amen? And He wants us to go, that we may share what we have received. Remember, the Phillies may hit a home run, but God has knocked it out of the universe. Let us pray. Father God, we love You so much, and we thank You for all that we are and for all that we do. Because, Lord, there is so much that we need You for. There is so much we depend upon You for. So, Lord, as we come before You, we come in grace and mercy, understanding that it is ours to love You, love each other, and go into this world and make disciples. Help us to live up to that. Help us to develop these three stages of our lives. Because, Lord, You don't just get there all at once. We have to learn to love You a little bit every day. We've got to learn to love each other a little bit more every day. And we've got to be committed to go a little bit more every day. Help us to grow. Help us to be Your church. Lead us, O Lord, by Thy right hand. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.